We were young, pretty dumb. We painted this sport bike in the living room of our apartment, but our landlord lived upstairs. So we have to clean this up, all this overspray, and we don't know what to do. So we use gasoline. So we're like wiping the walls down, gasoline, mopping the floor with gasoline because it removed it. It got rid of it. But the our landlord calls down and he's like, do you know what's happening down there? I'm like, no, why? He's like, I smell gasoline. I was like, oh, really? That's crazy. He's like, I'm afraid to light a cigarette. I was like, yeah, you probably don't want to do that till you find out what the problem is.
Yeah.
Yeah, we didn't start this episode with yawning. I feel like the past two episodes have
been with yawns. Whoops.
Oh my goodness. But
rough, man.
Yeah, it's a morning today, so we're good. Welcome back to another episode of Modify with Trick Factory Customs. If this is your first time watching, my name is Elvis.
Tim.
Rob.
And on this episode, we are going to be discussing building a custom car shop or garage on a budget. Recently, I have been thinking about that with having a family or child, wife, all of that. I cannot always come to the shop here to work on my projects. And so I've been needing to start thinking about new solutions to that. And so we're going to discuss that, what that entails, people that might be thinking about the same thing, what you should look at budget-wise, what you should look at. There's a lot of different things we're going to be diving into. Tools you need. It's going to be a very comprehensive episode. So with that said, yeah, let's get started.
All right, let's dig in.
Awesome. So, week, how's the week? What's happening?
We basically are finished the 190. It's heading back to Ireland.
2.516.
Yes. So that one has been a challenge.
Yep.
So shout out to Mark. Ooh, is it? Mercedes? What's this? Instagram?
Yeah, Mark. Yeah, oh, Mark. Yeah. Mercedes G-Wagon on Instagram.
Yes. Yeah. He used his clout to get us the missing windshield for that car because we searched for it for almost 2 years.
That's insane. Yeah.
Cheers to you.
So... yes, that was like the final missing piece because we weren't able to get one. We tried a million different options. Nobody would ship us one even if we were able to find it. So he got us one from Mercedes OEM. So yes, we can finally get that car wrapped up and sent home. So that's pretty exciting. I'd say that's probably the biggest success of the week. Other than that, it's just kind of more of the same.
We've been all waiting for that window and the finalization of that project. It's like, I mean, it's just a restoration for a long, long time. It looks amazing.
It's a beautiful car.
It's a beautiful car. So that was a big project coming to a close. I was working on the Skylark a lot more. The Skylark saga continues. We did a lot of work, finalized the front bumper. We got the 7-inch diameter headlights installed into it. Rad support's finalized, well, almost finalized.
Seeing that thing with headlights, it looks so good. It's like,
yeah, all of a sudden it looks like a car again, right? I mean, it's a big deal. And moving forward on that project, like now we can scan that area and we can start developing the bezels that will create the final shape that we see. Because we designed a completely new hood scoop, cutting a hole in the hood for the Wegner supercharger to poke through, required us to do a whole bunch of things. So the snowball rolls, and we got a bunch of material for that. So moving forward, I'm looking forward to get into that. We'll grab some momentum and just go for it.
Sweet. And so
yeah.
With that said, we are gonna dive into the topic. So building a custom car, garage, shop, shed, whatever it may be. There's a lot of different ways that you can build a garage and shop. And again, the reason why I suggested this topic is just because I'm trying to do that now, just because of the reasons I mentioned earlier. So I just wanted to pick you guys' brain on what options to go with here, because I'm working with a very, very tight budget or almost non-existent budget.
Well, I mean, we've been doing this now for quite some time, and budget's always kind of like, you know, it's a major part of the formula in your decisions. So, and we've gone through many different variations from base level all the way up to like how many square feet of like shop do we have now?
30,000.
Like it's been a constant cool. evolution. The evolution of the shop never ends.
Yeah. So that's why I wanted to pick you guys' brain about this, because so where did you guys before we dive into my own story, let's start with you guys.
Yeah, I can break down the stages for you where we start.
So where did you guys start from?
Basically, well, the first step was buying a house that you could actually do what you want to do to and be allowed to do what you want to do to. So we started with that. We had a back alley. So I think there was many late nights under tarps and like
under tarps on gravel,
temporary buildings. And then, from there, we designed and built our own garage behind the house, like built it ourselves.
That's wow.
So literally like bought like some generic plans from the internet and then adapted them to our thing, did the whole city permit thing, built it literally with the help of my stepfather, framed it, roofed it, did the concrete, like just the story behind that and the characters involved was crazy.
Yeah, pretty wild. Now, like Tim, like you, when you were a young man coming up in the world, you used to work for your stepfather, and he's a very, very, very accomplished framer in residential construction.
So I used to work summers for him.
Yeah.
Okay.
So the idea of building like this shop, like I think it was, we maximize it because there's like a percentage that you have to have. So being a car guy, I didn't do 20 by 40. I did like 21.7 by 49.9.
Because like, that was like max,
the absolute maximum. So it was like a weird shaped garage. But anyways, we built that, and then that's where we sort of started our business. And then,
so it kind of evolved a little bit from that point too, but like just in that, we built the garage. That was really cool. We had multiple locations that we were working out of at that time.
Yeah.
But,
and then our previous boss, cause we both have industrial fabrication background. Mm-hmm. So then once we started doing, that's where we started tinkering and building and doing stuff. And then once we transitioned a bit bigger than that, we ended up putting a paint booth in the back of our boss's shop, because his shop's probably, 70,000 square feet?
It was massive. Industrial fabrication, like big scale stuff. Mm-hmm. So
he got in the car stuff. He allowed us to build a shop within the shop.
That's amazing.
So we used to work all day and then go back into our little corner and then work all night. And then progression from there, we needed some autonomy, I think, a little some separation. So we ended up renting a small space. It was like 1,500 or 1,700 square feet.
Oh, it was in that neighborhood. That's pretty common for where we live. Like 1,500 to 1,700 square feet. It's like a single bay, you know, multi business, you know, commercial complex.
So once we got in there, we're like, man, what are we gonna do with all this space?
But that was terrifying. I remember being terrified. Like, okay, fuck, man, we're gonna sign this lease, dude. Like, we're 5 years, man. If we can't make this work,
oh my god,
we're gonna lose our fucking nuts here for sure.
Yeah.
But that was pretty scary, but
then you know, the natural progression, we ended up taking over the unit next to us.
Nice.
So then we doubled our space, and then this particular location we coveted for years, but this was like, I don't know what the story behind it was. It was like overgrown, overrun.
This place.
Oh,
place here, now? Yeah. Wow.
So I like kept my eye on it literally for probably 6 or 7 years.
That's insane.
And then when it came available, I was like here same day, just standing in the parking lot, like trying to find out who owned it, all this kind of stuff. And then we moved into here, and then we grew out of here into the other space, and then now the body shop. And it's like, yeah, we literally started under like a lean-to
with the blue
tarp.
Yep.
In the pouring rain, laying on the gravel. Like it's been a climb, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. And like even before that, like before you even had a space in the backyard to do anything, we were just like anybody, man. Like on the side of the road.
Yep.
You know,
out in front
of your home.
Yes.
Like, you know, you're not supposed to be doing this, but you're like changing, you know, manual transmission clutches and shit like that.
Me and this guy painted a motorcycle in our apartment one
day. Yeah. Yeah.
On the third
not
story.
Not recommended.
Oh my God.
We built a whole motorcycle in our apartment and then had to take it down the stairs at like 1 in the morning. Like,
yeah.
While nobody was around. Then another apartment, We painted one in the living room.
What the?
And then when we left, we had to clean up all the yellow overspray. It was, that story's funny. We have to tell that story.
Yeah, yeah. What is it?
So anyways, we were young, pretty dumb. We painted this sport bike in the living room of our apartment. But our landlord lived upstairs, so I think it was like a fourplex or something. So we were in the lower level. Anyways, we spray this thing. It's fine. It turns out, and we get this thing out of there. But now we're moving out. We've put in our notice, and we're leaving. So we have to clean this up, all this overspray, and we don't know what to do. So we use gasoline. So we're like, walls down, gasoline, mopping the floor with gasoline because it removed it. It got rid of it. But our landlord calls down, and he's like, do you know what's happening down there? I'm like, no, why? He's like, I smell gasoline. I was like, oh, really? That's crazy. he's like, I'm afraid to light a cigarette. I was like, yeah, you probably don't want to do that until you find out what the problem is.
Yeah.
So we had to open all the doors. We had fans going.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
I was like, yeah, we'll have a look down here. Maybe it's a jerry can on the patio or something.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was pretty funny.
That's amazing. Yeah. Oh,
he asked us to stay after that, so he never knew it was.
So he never knew it was you.
No.
That's amazing.
Yeah, yeah. I don't recommend that.
Why didn't you
that.
Use like acetone
Dude,
or something?
Dude, we were broke as
Dude,
shit.
We had like we had zero no money. Funds, man. You're young and trying to come up, man.
Gas was not as expensive as it is now, so that was the cheapest solution.
Wow. Oh, my God.
It was pretty funny, though.
Don't do that at home.
don't do that at
home. Use gasoline.
Yeah.
Oh, that's amazing.
Okay, so, yeah, that's our climb to the...
Yeah, but, like, in all of that progression, like, how do you know, like, first of all, like, you needed to move or you, like, you outgrew that space?
Because our projects outgrew the space. So it wasn't necessarily that our projects were too big for the space. It's just when you're in residential, you can't be out grinding and hammering until 2 a.m. Mm. So the transition to industrial space allowed us to do that. And then we're free to do whatever we want, whenever we wanted. So I mean, like, we were pretty good because our neighbors were fairly lenient. They're all car guys for the most part. So we had a certain amount of leniency, but it just got to be too much. Like, we're cutting and grinding. Like, our projects got bigger. And then, we had to transition.
Yeah, like, I mean, anybody coming up, you know, trying to develop skill sets and whatever and trying to come up in this world, you need new equipment. Your projects get progressively more and more complex and bigger, dirtier. Like you said, you're grinding a lot and you're making a lot of noise, a lot of sparks. And you just need more space, more equipment, and the reality of that set in, and we're like, we need to get more room, and the residential thing no longer worked for us. Mm-hmm. I mean, I still reflect back on those times as being some of the greatest times, you know, in our little world.
Days.
Yeah.
The garage days were the best days.
The garage days were super fun. They were super, super cool. Like, you know, and you're kind of like looking towards creating that in your life now.
Yes.
And I really, really hope that you move forward on that because, man, there is super, super cool to be able to do that.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to it because, like, I mean, I started with, like, literally when I started getting, I've always been interested in cars, but actually working on cars like my Datsun. This was like in LA, literally North Hollywood, nice neighborhood, and you just see a guy just cutting his Datsun in the driveway.
Yeah.
So I didn't rain that much in California, which was amazing for me. Like the entire time I built that car, it did not rain one day into how many months that we did it. And so, so I did that. But even before that, like, I used to live in like an apartment building in like West Hollywood or whatever, but it was, you could not, they literally had the sayings, you could not work. It's one of those like very big apartment complexes where there's like a shop in it. There's like a pool, like massive community pool, all that stuff. And so I could not work on my car in the complex. And they were very clear with that because I tried and a security guy saw me.
He's like, hey.
Yeah.
Well, even in our neighborhood in front of my house, I had a neighbor call the cops on me one time.
Oh my, come on.
Doing my own brakes out in front of the house before I had a garage. And she, like, the bylaw guy
came. Like in your own driveway and everything too, right?
That's so, that's
so I had to prove that it was my own car because she claimed that I was like running a shop, like a garage in front of my house.
Yeah.
So the bylaw guy came. I had to show him my registration that it was my own car because you're allowed a certain amount of leniency.
Mm-hmm. With like basic stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I, for the most part, had to drive out of LA to do, and it was brakes. Same thing with you. I could not do my brakes in the apartment complex. So I literally drove 45, almost an hour away from my home in the Los Angeles mountains. And
just sit on the side of the road. Really?
Yeah. Yo. Because like in the LA, whatever, National Forest, Los Angeles, I forgot what the name of the place is, but Angeles Crest National Forest or Angeles Crest Highway. It's like known for being like motorcycles driving. Mm. It's a car enthusiast's heaven.
Yeah.
One of the best driving roads in the world. But they had some like places that are like, what did they call
them? I've seen people like you, the little rest areas and the pullouts.
Yes. Just
doing motor jobs and shit at a rest area. I'm like, what is happening here?
Yeah, that's why. And so I literally did my brakes and I was like praying to God that, and I hadn't done a comprehensive brake job like that ever. It was my 370Z. Like I did brakes, calipers, everything. Like it was a whole, I'm so glad that the brakes worked, because if not, like,
then you're stranded.
Yeah. And it's like there's literally just drop offs on like literally to your death. And so if I did not, and I had to bed in the brakes, all of that stuff there and then. And so thank God that it all worked out. But yeah, like, so it's just been a progression. And so where I'm at now, I have a lot of land, thankfully, which is kind of where the idea came, but there's no garage.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was like, maybe I should build something. But I'm not sure of what solution or what garage or what shed to go with. And so, so far, what I have one in mind to go with, and I kind of shared it with you before that they don't know. Tim is nodding his head, but I thought about using shipping containers and making a shipping container garage. Because like a lot of people, it's in vogue or it's like a thing now for people to make shipping container homes. And that in itself, I have thought about it, but I would not necessarily do that just because of the cost associated with that, because you're no longer building it's not as easy as people make it out to be.
No.
But a shipping container garage is, you could have it, I feel like, as bare bones as possible.
I think you can make a workshop out of a shipping container, but trying to move a car in and out of a shipping container, I don't think it's going to be that easy.
So I have thought about this long and hard. I'm still thinking about it.
It's the size of them that makes it a problem.
So what about stacking containers? Like three of, my thoughts are, so they come.
You need three of them.
Yeah. So they come in two sizes or a few sizes, like 20 foot, right? And 40 foot, and then 40 foot height cube or something. So I think they have like a taller
one.
Yeah. But I think the real issue is the internal dimension in the width of it.
So how wide are they?
Eight and a half feet to the outside, because that's as wide as it can be to go down the highway.
Mm-hmm.
So if you put two of them together, you're only 16 feet deep. That's not enough for a car, because your average car is about 16 feet.
Mm-hmm.
So then now you need a third one.
Yeah.
Because, and then getting in the end, you can barely get a car in it. So like the in and out of it would be a nightmare. You wouldn't even want to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, you got the ledge, you got all this other stuff. You're going to have to make ramps and a bunch of shit. So you'd need at least three of them. I think three of them would make a decent size shop.
Mm.
That's basically the size of my shop,
so like
that I built behind my house, which is like 24 by 40.
Yeah. Okay. So yeah, that's like the thought that I have now. But again, it's also going to be a lot of work, because again, shipping containers were not meant to be garages.
No.
So,
like right there in the linear amount of feet that you would have to weld to seal that thing up, you have hundreds of feet of welding. I know,
that's a lot of welding.
Yes.
And so I'm not looking forward to that. And then you have to also make sure it's strengthened too, because I think
they're pretty strong.
I've heard that once you cut out the walls, like it kind of gets a little bit, it can sag because of the extra weight. And especially when like rainfall or like snow
load falls, here, you have to worry about.
Most definitely that's part of your formula here, your factor here, right? We have snow load. We have all of that here. And and it's wet six months of the year.
Yeah. And so
and there's a lot sure of other layers to that. Like you got to try to insulate this thing.
Yeah. Yeah, you'll get condensation fucking weeping on the inside of it.
I was going to ask, what happens if it's not
fully insulated?
You're going to freeze.
What about with the heater and stuff?
In the summertime, you're going to be sweltering, and in the wintertime, you're going to freeze.
Yeah.
So
I think this might be on a fail sort of department. It's not a good
really?
Idea.
Really? Why? Yeah.
I think you can get one of those prefab buildings for less.
Yeah, but I've heard bad things about prefab. So in case you don't know what prefab building is, it's like pretty much a prefab home where it's a prefab garage. They it's like a kit you buy, and it's steel, and you assemble
you can
it.
You get wood ones too.
Oh, okay.
Like a proper garage.
Yeah,
you can I didn't get know you like could do fabric that. Ones too, can't you?
The fabric ones are really, not good. So
well, no, that's what I'm saying. But like, there's levels to this, right?
Yeah.
Prefab, like you got like fabric, metal, wood, like you
but
could.
You gotta concrete. Think beyond just what you need to do the job. Do you really want a big container thing on your property?
You can make it.
You
look
have a beautiful
sick,
new home, and you want to put a big pile of shit next to it.
You can make it look sick.
Like, yeah, but what's it gonna? At what cost? By the time you know, put lipstick on a pig, okay. You could have just bought a proper thing.
Okay, here. So, like, I just did a quick search right away, and we kind of touched on this on our last conversation. So, prefab, like, you can get a prefab roof structure with an end wall
for containers
that is boxed in. Bookshelf by containers. We talked about that on the last one.
That's what you should build.
So that seems like it would be a pretty good solution. I think that as far as like getting kind of entry level and having a decent space to work, especially for where we live, that's kind of important. You get like paint room, you get like fab room or storage, plus it's walled in, roofed off, and sealed on all four sides.
But that roof or that one that's like all...
Yeah.
Constructed that is looks like it's a fabric style.
That's okay.
But that comes in levels too, though. If you go buy the $4,500 one or the $10,000 one, it's you see them everywhere.
Because I've used it before multiple times, like for like
that's probably from
and
Amazon.
The sun literally Amazon. Destroys it. The sun. Snow.
Where'd you get it from, Princess Harbor or Harbor Freight?
No, not Harbor Freight. What's the name of the Canadian?
Canadian Tire.
Princess
Harbor. Yes. There's levels
this,
to the game.
These are like. This is more industrial spec.
Yeah. Plus, you can get the corrugated panels. That would be fine if you went to the metal version of that.
Mm-hmm.
But that's also quite a bit more expensive, too.
So. Yeah. You know what? And that's the thing. And so this conversation, like, there's many, many levels to it, right? Depending on what's your budget, what kind of footprint you can have. Like, are you going to do concrete slab? Like, there's so many things to factor in on this discussion. Like, if you add concrete slab on your ground, now all of a sudden you're paying more property tax here, right?
So that's part of the equation. So if I'm doing the shipping container route, I want to do gravel because again, and then kind of sink it into it a little bit so I can maybe build a little ramps
to get in there
to get the car in. But that's again just my basic idea. Just because again, if you're doing concrete slabs, that's more cost, more expense, more material, all of that stuff. And so that was like the basic thought, but
yeah, and I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I mean, from what we've experienced in life working on gravel, it kind of sucks, but now moving
forward. You ever tried
to
roll a creeper on gravel?
No, but it's not, that's what I'm saying. It's not going to be on gravel.
But like you could like fully tamp that gravel, like really, and you know, use a really nice fine gravel and create a really, really hard structure. I think it'd be a decent place to start.
You're not going to want to work on that.
No, I'm not going to work on the gravel. It's going to be
the container. On the
ground? Yeah, the container, level it on the gravel and everything. So everything is going to take place in the container. And I was thinking, again, of building like an awning of some sort with the container wall that I cut out of just to be resourceful.
Has your wife been a part of this conversation?
No. No, I haven't involved her in this.
No, she's going to agree with your plan. It's starting to sound a little bit shantytown right now.
Like, it's not going to look good,
yes.
I feel like you can make it look good if
if you spend some money on it.
Mm-hmm. Yes, true. But I feel like you could, like you always say, put in the sweat equity, making
it's gonna
it
be
look
a lot.
Good.
It's going to be a lot.
So, but again, with this shipping container problem, or why I don't want to go with it, is just because it's also a lot of fabrication,
it's gonna be a tremendous amount of
welding,
work.
Yeah, time,
just abrasives, paint, all that stuff, I think you're going to start approaching the cost of like a prefabbed garage.
Yeah, and just time spent.
What's the container cost? $3,500?
Mm-hmm.
And then that's what?
Times three.
Eight times 40, 24, 70. You're like 30,000 square feet of paintable surfaces. Like, it's going to cost you a fortune.
Mm-hmm.
A fortune.
Not a good idea.
Plus, you got to prep that shit.
Yeah.
Man, that's a lot of paint. That's a lot of linear feet of welding.
No.
It's a lot.
Mm. And so, yeah, that was just one thought that I have.
Is it going to increase or decrease property values?
I don't know, because it's a temporary structure. So I don't know if the value, if that counts as a value increment or a reduction.
It's going to decrease the value.
I don't think so, though.
Curb appeal?
Curb appeal, man. There's value up in that,
you
dude.
Have to make it look nice, though. Like, I can make it look nice.
I don't think there's a lot you can do to a container to make it truly look like it makes sense in a nice neighborhood.
A decent amount of money.
Yeah. So,
yeah. Prefab construction, I believe, is the right play. There's a lot of companies out there that exist. You can get full metal ones that, you know, just stand it up in a weekend kind of thing.
And we get so much wind in this area, too. Yeah. That's another thing that
I'm
like.
You got to build a proper building.
Yeah. Yeah.
Man, I'm telling you.
Oh, my gosh.
Sorry, man.
See, that's the thing.
The first time it gets... Okay, you can build it. Well, get one of these temporary structures. The first time it gets cold, windy, rainy, right away, again, you're not working.
Mm.
We've done it.
Yep.
And next thing you know, you're waiting 5 days to work on your car again because it's too shitty outside and you're freezing. And, not to pick on you any further, but let's just be real here
for a moment. Oh, my gosh. Okay.
Let's discuss your current work situation.
Yeah.
You, at any given time, have three heaters on, a hoodie, and a jacket.
How does that have to do with anything?
And you believe for a moment that you're going to go work in a tin can in the middle of wintertime? Not a damn chance.
No.
Not a chance.
No. Yeah. No.
I don't.
That's tough reality right there.
Like, you have to remember, I think we start every one of these conversations with... You need to be honest with yourself. This is a moment. You should be looking into our values of insulation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Educating yourself on that.
Yeah.
So you can't just use like heaters and that's it?
If you want without to just insulation? Burn money, go ahead.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, you're just burning money, man.
Here, I pay the hydro bill. At your house, you'll be paying the hydro bill. So right away, you'll be like, nope.
Yeah. So, yeah. So, okay. So, let's pause the container area for now.
Let's just...
For now. It's not completely dismissed, but...
I think more research needs to be done on that topic.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, like, what would you say, like, if you were to go with a traditional, like, building, framing, all of that, cement, like you guys did in your first shop,
mm-hmm.
what... And factoring into... You guys did it a long time ago, so I'm sure costs and prices have changed, but... You're in tune with the prices of things now. So what would you say, that was like 20 by 40-ish, right?
Yeah, like 24
by 40. So 24 by 40. So what would that remote ballpark for materials alone cost?
So at that time, I think I built that garage, what was that, 25 years ago?
Damn. Yeah, it has to have been that
long. Yeah, and it cost $17,000. So I would have to say that now is probably at least three times as much.
It has to.
I think the most expensive part of the whole thing, because we built everything ourselves. We built the formings, we built everything. And along the way, you have to have things inspected. So mm-hmm. it's not like we were even able to do anything janky. It's like this was not a temporary building.
Mm-hmm.
We had to build it properly to code, to specifications, blah, 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 blah. And the most expensive part was the floor. Pouring the floor,
the concrete,
like
the
cement.
Like at that time, the concrete to pour the foundation, the forms, and the floor was $5,000.
Oh my gosh!
Whereas the rest of it, I think we built the thing over the course of probably 6 months as I could afford it.
Mm-hmm.
So like, poured, got the foundation, and then the walls, and then the roof, and then all the shit. Then you come back and you pour the floor. So the single biggest outlay was for the floor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
And so the main floor and the roof trusses, were things that we outsourced.
Yeah.
We had another company make the roof trusses.
Okay.
And then we made all the walls and everything else on our own.
Sheeted it.
Yeah.
Then put the roof on it. Then poured the floor, wrapped it. The thing left was unsided for probably 6 months or a year because I literally paid as I could go. And then we put siding on it to make it look nice. Mm-hmm. Then we went back inside, put insulation in it because we did the same thing. Mm-hmm. We're in there with just basic sheeting and propane heaters. And then we're like, okay, this is getting ridiculous. We need to put some insulation in this mm-hmm. thing because we'd be out there freezing our asses
off. Yeah, yeah.
And then, yeah.
Dang, dude.
Yeah, it's definitely like this whole thing is like one of those kind of things where you got to do your research mm-hmm. and save your money and just go get it done.
Tear it off like a Band-Aid, man.
That's too much money.
No, you have to do it though.
I already spent money on a house.
Yeah.
And so that
yeah,
that's just reality, man.
Yeah, that's real life, man.
Like we're not, especially here, we're not in a location where these temporary buildings are viable.
Yeah,
like they are not. For small projects and maybe keeping the branches off your car, but for working in it, just you can't here.
No, the weather, because
you can't leave your tools outside. Mm-hmm. It's like California, you leave your shit outside,
yeah,
it's fine.
Literally, yeah,
it's that's no what big I deal. Did. Here it would be toasted in like 3 months.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
wet.
There's a very
hot
definitive difference between storage area and a workspace.
Mm.
You know. Like you need, your workspace needs to be insulated. You need to make it comfortable.
Otherwise you are not going to work.
True. That's very true.
Like you just won't. Mm-hmm. Like I don't care what you say. Like even here, it's like the amount that it costs to heat this building, it's like it's on the minimum and you're still like,
yeah.
You know, you crank it up another 7 degrees and all of a sudden you're hauling ass.
Oh gosh.
So it's a fine line.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And if it's wet and cold, you're just not going
to. You do not want to work because I have tried that even. Like work, because even here, a lot, like my project is outside. One of my projects is outside, the Jag. And it's like, if the weather is wet or if it's cold, I just don't even bother. I mean,
exactly.
Even if it's cold, like I try to do it for like 20 minutes and I'm just done.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I mean, we all watch these guys in California that are out in their driveway, living their best life. Man.
Yeah.
I got this basic, just little thing to keep the sun from beating on them. It looks very romantic, but here we don't have that.
They even paint outside too.
Dude, I watched a whole body shop once. I was there like working in another place for a bit and it was like, car would come in, they'd do body work, paint, clear, polish, and we leave in the same day outside. And these were like good cars.
Yeah.
But then you go on a freeway and after paint's peeling off and everything. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, that's the reality of it. But it was pretty wild to see.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So,
like
yeah,
most paint booths there are outside.
Yes.
Like literally, you go to an auto body shop, the paint booth is outside of the building in the parking lot.
Yes.
We could never do that here.
I miss those days.
No,
why don't we move to California? What's keeping us in Vancouver? Come on.
Oh, I'm ready to go anytime, bro.
The rent prices I hear are the same.
Yeah.
Or the what's it called? Property values and stuff are pretty similar.
Vegas is the place.
Mm.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, we've been talking about moving for a long, long time now.
Yeah. So. And so with the garage or building out of the way, the structure, let's go to like tools and stuff, because even after building the garage, the physical structure, you still need to outfit it with things that you need.
Mm-hmm.
And so for you guys, what were the essentials that you guys used back then, and what are they the same now? All that.
So I think there's been some evolutions in tools for sure. When we first got going, air tools were like essential for any kind of like actual shop work.
Now you use them and I just, ugh.
Now
like a jackhammer.
You can almost any air tool now is almost available in electric now.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So you can potentially not have an air system. I wouldn't say that that's a real thing. Like I think an air system is necessary.
Yeah, so I'd say if I had to pick three things, it would probably be air compressor,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
small bandsaw,
okay,
and a small belt sander, like an upright vertical belt sander.
Really? Okay. Just those three.
How often do you see us on the belt sander in the shop?
That's true, literally.
It's like literally everything. You need to shorten a bolt, 1/8 inch, it's effortless.
Mm-hmm.
You need to, you know, round the corner, you need to soften an edge. It's like you were on that thing constantly.
Mm-hmm.
And then the bandsaw, just like we started with like a 4-inch, I think. The thing was tiny.
Mm-hmm.
But you need to cut something that's a piece of cake.
Mm-hmm. You know? Yeah. That I remember when we evolved to getting one of those horizontal vertical conversion style bandsaws. And we actually still have the same machine.
The same one.
Like, wow. It's not a great tool. I still use it, though. But, yeah, you could go from being a horizontal bandsaw, you'd stand it up, put a base on it, and now you have a vertical bandsaw. That was a really good tool to get. That one, like, literally changed the game. Where you question, how did I get by without this?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can cut stock, the length.
Yeah.
All those things. Nip little corners off.
It's a big part of everything. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But everybody wants to get, like, welders and, like, machine. Like, and if you ever want to buy one of those 3-in-1 milling machine thing, don't do it. The thing's
really?
A pile of shit.
Yeah.
It's literally the most worthless tools.
Any of
those 3-in-1 combo tools are junk.
Really?
Like, yeah. The ones with the slip rolls, with the little brake, might be good for tiny things, but, like, that 3-in-1 milling machine drill press thing, don't buy it. It's horrible.
No, even that 3-in-1 slip roll brake foot shear, or that shear, don't buy it, because it's not good for much
good
anything.
For like 20 gauge,
20 gauge maybe,
very lightweight,
like,
stuff.
Like, yeah, most body panel stuff is 20 gauge, but, like, it's a fucking nightmare, man. Mm-hmm. Don't buy it.
So pretty much buy specialized tools. Like, okay, this is a what? This is only for drilling. This is only like a drill press.
Yeah,
yeah, but you don't need that, though.
You don't need a drill press, but you need a drill press.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, at least a bench top
a lot
drill
less
press,
dangerous.
At least.
Mm-hmm.
True.
Yeah.
And it's way more accurate.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I mean, and then like a decent angle grinder, you can make some pretty amazing shit with a hacksaw and a hand drill.
Yeah.
But I'd say if any of the mistakes that we made was buying cheap tools.
Mm.
Like, you can do some stuff with them, but it's not really worth it.
Yeah.
Like, you'll just find frustration. So you're better off to get something better. Like, wait and buy better stuff.
You don't need to buy Snap-on tools. I'm kidding.
No, you don't.
You don't need to buy Snap-on.
You don't need to buy Snap-on.
But in many cases, you want to, because a lot of them just work better, and you get a lifetime warranty. I mean, it's kind of a
once you progress
thing.
To a point where you just want to buy it for the very last time, Snap-on is the play.
Yeah. But it's not the play for every tool. That's for
no,
sure.
No, if you're a home guy, you don't need to buy it, because it's not like for us, we're working with it all day, every day.
Mm.
And if you break it, you know, the guy comes by, you get a new one. That's fine. But for a home guy, like, we had Mastercraft tools for the first 15 years. But now that I have Snap-on shit,
never going back.
I'm never going back.
I still use the Mastercraft stuff. I mean, I have my toolbox in my fab area is, like, you know, a lot of our, you know, basically tools that we started with back in the day, and I use them all the time.
Yeah, they still work.
Like,
they still work fine, but like where Snap-on shines is like in their ratchets when you're under
precision.
A vehicle and you're trying to just, you have this much room.
Yeah.
That's, you know.
Yeah. Those are, I think, are like,
if you're working on a bench, Mastercraft's fine.
Yeah. Yeah. But major tools to own, you know, angle grinder.
Yep.
For sure.
Yeah. Do you watch, Fanatic Builds?
Yeah, I've watched his channel. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's a really good YouTube channel.
What makes his stuff good is, He is building this, was MG? What is it?
It like is some sort of British car.
British
with
car
LS.
Or something. Oh, Triumph, I think. I think that's what it is. But yeah, he's LS swapping it. But what makes his stuff cool, or just to see what he can do with an angle grinder, like literally,
you
like
can make amazing shit with an angle grinder.
With an angle grinder.
Like, that's, like, I think back to some of the stuff that we built in the early days when we had no tools. It was literally just like angle grinders, hand files, blocks, and we made awesome shit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then I think back to the amount of time and effort that we put into it.
It takes a lot,
but we made really nice stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can most definitely do it. I mean, you can even use an angle grinder with a zip cut on it to score an edge on sheet metal or plate to bend it right on that line. Like, you can do that. But now you're welding that whole thing again too.
So it's more labor intensive, but you can do.
You can most definitely do
some awesome shit.
Yeah. And actually, I still use that technique on occasion now.
To cut and bend.
Yeah. Sometimes it's just the play that you have to do.
Yeah.
What else you got?
Let's see. Hold on.
This is building a home shop, right? We're not talking about building a shop.
Yeah. Building a shop. This is like on a budget. Like you're trying to like stick with the budget. But let's see. Needs. We've talked about that. Like assessing needs. Go back to the building again. The building part of it. The building blocks. Whatever. Building. Do you do it yourself or do you hire the professionals to do it? Because
that comes down to your aptitude and your timeline.
Yeah.
Like
if Do you have the ability?
Yeah. I built it because I had experience framing. Mm-hmm. So it didn't seem that complicated to me. And I had somebody that I could ask advice to, like, what do I got to do for this? What do I got to do for this? Whereas you don't have that yet.
Yeah.
So like I did it because I could and I had experience doing it. But if you're doing it yourself, framing a building is not that difficult. Like I don't think you would. It's not hard.
Yeah.
It's just a lot.
It's like, just, and it's a different way of approaching it. Like you need to kind of know what you're doing.
Yeah.
You know,
but it's something you can learn to do and it's something you can do yourself.
That's awesome.
But it's, yeah, you just got to learn how to do it. It's not that hard.
Yeah. And there's
it's actually just a lot of work.
There's a lot of channels out there that we have as resources on YouTube. Just Google search it. And like you can learn how to do framing properly, you know, like cutting a hole for a door and a window in a wall, you kind of need to know how to approach that and how to finalize it so that it doesn't just fall apart. Yeah. You know,
but you can buy plans for it.
Yeah, you can get all that stuff.
And they'll tell you exactly what you need to do.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I mean, that's what we did. I literally modified those plans, submitted them to the city, and then made whatever changes I wanted based on where I wanted windows, doors, this type of stuff, and then away we went.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can do that. So DIYing something like that's not that hard.
I would say you could build a building out of wood, like standard traditional construction, easier than doing your container thing.
Really?
Oh, most definitely. Definitely.
That's a lot of cutting, a lot of welding.
Well, because the tools required are so much more basic as well. Like you got a standard, you know, wood construction, like a contractor's hammer. Claw hammer and nails,
yeah,
and
you two can by go fours buy with a skill air saw. Nailer for a couple hundred bucks. Mm-hmm. That'll build your building just fine. You need a skill saw and an air nailer and like a 10 horse compressor. You can build a building. Whereas what you want to do is like it's going to be a lot.
Yeah, it's a much more basic way of doing it that is 100% like you know access. You know, it's a realistic.
Because you need big power to do what you're going to do.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like you need a decent, like probably 250 amp welder that you got to get power to, or you got to rent some crazy generator, stick welder, gas welder, and do all that stuff. And it's a lot. Plus, you got to learn how to do it properly first.
True, yeah.
Yeah, like that's real welding. That's not patching a piece of sheet metal into your car. You're welding the building together before, and then cutting all that out, just abrasives, man.
Like the abrasives or using
plasma
are you using cutter. A plasma or are you using fuel torch cutting?
You know? If you're going to buy these things, that's $10,000 worth of tools right there. Easy. Mm-hmm. Like a 250 amp welder, $6,000.
I have a 250 amp welder. It's a Chinese welder, but it's
That thing is
sick.
Not 250 amps.
It literally says it on the packaging.
That is horseshit.
Yes, welder.
Yeah, the duty cycle is probably like, 10%.
Yeah, 10%.
That's it. I'm going to have to wait 30 minutes before this thing can be used again.
Anyhow, it says it's a 200. Oh, I haven't tested that fact.
We just had is this big.
Yeah.
Like, no.
Let's just say that's probably not up to the
duty. Yeah, that's not going to work for you.
Do you need a frame table? Is that an essential?
No.
No?
No, you don't need a frame table.
Are you building chassis now? You don't even got a garage yet.
Whoa.
Yo.
No, hold on a second. Like, no, I'm just thinking of like essential stuff. Like if you're going to be like fabricating stuff that you want accurate, like don't you
need... Yeah, but how big?
I don't know.
Well, if you're building a car from nothing and you have no chassis or anything like that, of course you need a frame table to... be accurate.
Or like what you have
a for fabrication example. Table
a fab table sorry
a fab table
yes
you should have some kind of metal top table but you don't need what we have. Like if you have a metal top table for fabricating and welding on, you can build standoffs off that table and create yourself
I see
you know, a sort of platform in air to mm-hmm. be accurate. But if you want something that's like, that table's not cheap. Like, that's
no,
not,
it's like,
it's a real yeah. thing. Like, I think just the piece of sheet was $1,000. Mm-hmm. It's and then you got a thick. Yeah. So we made that, and that's got what, 350 holes in it. So it was, it took like 3-4 days to create.
Yeah. Let's not discount that it's got a full, you know, structural steel base structure that it's attached to.
And ours is bigger than most. Mm-hmm. And it's, yeah, ours is like full size. But you can buy smaller fab tables. But to build a chassis off of or get that big, even our tables, you would still build legs off of it
that to expand. Create,
mm-hmm. you know, and then you start yeah. using levels and lasers and measurements to create something like that. But no, you don't necessarily need a table like ours.
Yeah.
No, as a DIY and sort of like, you know, budget friendly variation, I mean, 2x4s, piece of plywood, you know, that will get you in the game, right? You don't even like need to have a metal top. On
4x4 tables, like made out of wood.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you don't need a metal top.
Yeah.
A metal top is nice because, yeah, of course, then the whole thing becomes a grounding surface for when you're welding or now it's, you don't have to worry about it catching on fire.
Yeah, that's a
you know, that's kind of important. That's nice.
But you see guys build makeshift frame tables all the time.
Oh, yeah.
And then you build off that platform.
Mm-hmm.
So I would not say that that's, no.
But I also just thought of something, too, for affordability when buying, like, tools or mm-hmm. even buying building materials. Marketplace is a great option.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can.
For doing that, because I feel you see deals all the time.
I would say our entire shop is built off of auction sites and marketplace and opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you were to try to go buy everything that we have, like retail,
mm-hmm. insane.
Dude, it'd be insane.
Yeah.
Like, it'd be insane.
The shop probably wouldn't exist if that's the route that we chose.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you tried to emulate this shop from just, like, today, we're going to go build and buy this shop,
like retail,
it would be millions of dollars. Yeah. But, I mean, like, so many things that we have is we bought when we had opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, we couldn't buy it at retail. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the stuff that we have is, if we didn't buy it the way we did, we wouldn't have it mm-hmm. because you can't justify it.
No.
Like, we have a 10-foot brake press
that thing is huge.
Yeah, and we use it constantly, and it's amazing. You don't even think about bending metal anymore, but the reality is to buy that thing's $120,000.
Mm-hmm.
So to be able to justify having it, if we didn't buy it the way we did, you couldn't justify it being there.
How many thousand pounds does it weigh?
17,000 pounds. Mm. So, like, just the logistics of moving it from one place to another is thousands of dollars.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, it's crazy. So, it's, yeah, if we didn't get it the way we did, but we don't need it.
Mm-hmm.
We need it, but we don't need it.
Yeah.
Like, there's other options. There's manual versions. You can get a 3-foot blade for a, you know, hydraulic press that it would work tremendous for 90% of what we do.
Mm-hmm.
But that thing is just, you walk over, boom, it's like, you don't even think about it.
Mm-hmm.
But that's like a convenience item.
Yeah. That's luxury stuff, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of things that, you know, we could sort of unpack on this sort of subject of setting up a shop like that. But
yeah, setting up a shop is a completely different topic.
Yeah. Building a shop on a, like a sort of like a budget friendly variation. I mean, wood. Do it with wood. It's fast. It's easy. It's relatively inexpensive.
If we want to look at the actual reality of these different types of buildings, I'm just thinking about like driving down the highway on one of our, you know, you're heading to SEMA, blah, 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 and you see these things. The common denominator in like those temporary buildings is the cars inside of them never get finished because of weather and shitty. It's all that kind of stuff. But you look at building a proper building, like look at the stuff that comes out of it. You ever see anything good come out of those? No.
It's like sometimes.
You drive
a it's Porsche, rare though, right?
It's rare. Mm-hmm. Because like if you drive by one of those little lean-to things, the hood's always up, the motor's out, it's on the ground. And that's
those where it's those ones that those cars that do come out of places like that, those are the ones that you usually hear the stories on. Like you it's like some YouTube sensation. You know,
oh, there's oh exceptions.
God, built the this in a lean-to on the side of my driveway.
It's blah, very blah, romantic. You're like, story,
oh, but wow, that's incredible.
Yeah, like it's like to go back to your original point. Like I listened to a pretty amazing builder now, and his coming up story was, your story, and he's probably part of the reason why you can't do that shit anymore. Because it was like he was talking about how he did it in underground of his apartment. He would go down there at 2 o'clock in the morning when everybody was put up plastic, paint cars down there, polished, grind, built entire show cars down in the underground of his apartment building. And then people would come in and be like, why the fuck is my car yellow? But the car is already gone.
Oh, and it's my like, God.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's, you know, those are those stories that. That's why that shit's not allowed to happen again.
There's just so much to think about, I feel like, when it goes to thinking of a storage space, storage facility, all the things that go into outfitting.
We're gonna get roasted again.
Why?
But this comes from experience.
Why, like, are we gonna get roasted?
Because it's like, just build a building. Like, you know?
Yeah, it's not that simple.
It's not that simple. Mm-hmm. It costs money, but I mean, we're discussing your situation. Like, you have a nice piece of property, you have a nice home. The smart play is to build a nice building and make that part of your plan.
What if you can't build? What about renting? Is that a good solution or no? Like,
going to find a shop space?
Yeah,
like just you hear guys that do like little co-op kind of things, and I think that would probably be a decent option. If you believe the other people involved are of the same mindset and ability.
Oh, yeah.
Because of what we've seen a lot of times in that is it's not a shop. It turns into like a clubhouse.
Oh,
just and everyone just goes in and drink, around. Nothing ever gets done. Mm-hmm. It's like, it just, yeah.
Yeah, I've never really thought about that. That is a viable, you know, reality that does exist out there. People do it with success.
There's, you know, like, we know some people that do it,
oh, okay.
You know, that share shops, share spaces, and they can put something together. But for the most part, what I've seen is it just turns into like a dump.
Mm.
Not so much anymore because shit is so expensive now. Like, when we first started, I think our first space was like $1,100 a month.
That's not bad.
So, I mean, you got 2-3 guys together and you share that space, is $300 a
month.
That's it wasn't a big deal. Now that same space is like $5,000.
Yep.
So it's not really a viable option anymore. But and then back then it was cheap enough that if you got like a kind of a little bit shitty space and maybe not a great building, $800-900, a bunch of guys, next thing you know, they're just hanging out there drinking, hiding out from their wives, and it turns into a shit show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But you don't see much of it anymore because it's just too expensive to do now. So
yeah, where we live, I mean, shit's too expensive. You just can't.
Way too expensive.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and you gotta trust those people that you're involved with, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, human character.
Start walking away, stuff's broken, like, it's a lot to manage.
You're like, oh, now you gotta schedule your time in that small space, so that's another thing. I mean, these are all part of some people's reality, and it's not something that we had to deal with, because we took a different route.
We're avoiding, when you give our advice, it's to avoid all the pitfalls, not just dismiss, you know, these cheaper buildings, all that kind of stuff, but we've been through it. Like, what happened this year? I got a call at like, hey, the fucking lean-to fell down. It's about to crush my car. Can you go dig all the snow off of it? Because we're away. So I'm there with a sawzall and a fucking shovel trying to save this guy's car because his lean-to collapsed. That's reality here.
Yeah.
It's unfortunate, but we're subject to having to think about a lot more like weather sort of things here.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, so a summary of it is like budget. That's probably one of the most important things in it, is budget, being, like you said, being honest with yourself and kind of figuring it out. And I think what I've also taken away from this is, like, even though, shipping container garages, it might be a viable option, but in the grand scheme of things, like you talked about heating,
Is it going to be comfortable?
That's something that I did not think about before.
Yeah.
I was just like, oh, just get the containers and weld it. That's good. But you need to make it actually livable if you want to make it.
You want to make a proper workspace.
Workable, yes.
And yeah, so, because it's not something that you just throw together in the afternoon. Like, this is a real thing that's going to take real money, real effort, and real time.
Yeah. And your workspace is a huge part of your success.
Very true.
Like, 100%. Look at us. Like, we're constantly struggling with it. As soon as it gets cluttery, you just like,
losing motivation.
Motivation. Whereas if you have a nice, clean, well-lit workspace to come into, you get more done.
Yeah.
You're supposed to be doing this because you love it.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah. Like, there's so many shops I've been to. I'm like, how do you work in here? Like, we get complimented on ours, and mine still gives us anxiety
because it
just gets so full. And you're just like, oh my God, it's just so much to look at, and you get overwhelmed. But I go into some other people's shit, and it's like, how do you, you're shimmying through things, there's just piles of tools, half tore apart shit, grease, it's dirty, like you don't even want to go in there. And then what comes out of there?
Nothing.
That's where projects go to die. So
awesome.
Yeah.
Anything else?
No.
Same old. Sweet. Just don't do anything. Yeah.
If you don't want to fail, don't try. Is don't that what you're saying?
Perfect solution.
Don't do that.
Just stay where you've always been. Yeah, no, I'm kidding. No, no,
don't
no.
Don't do anything. No. Don't nothing.
Don't listen to Tim.
Yeah, don't listen to Tim.
Oh my gosh. With that said, we will see you guys next week. Thank you guys for watching, listening. Bye.